Hey, what's happening? What's happening, bro?
Yo, yo.
Yo, yo, you got something going on in the background?
Is it clear now?
Yeah, I can hear you now, brother. What's happening, baby? Welcome to the Adulting Hour. This is where I bring on a guest and we just talk about things that we want our future children, the future youngins to know because of the things that we didn't learn when we were growing up. Some of the things we learned as we grew up, we want them to, sometimes we don't want them to learn it for themselves. We just want to help them through this. So right now I got Weezy the P. He has called me all the way from California. What's up, Weezy?
Man, what's happening, Jack?
Nothing much, man. You had a topic that you had near and dear to your heart that you wanted to talk about. What was that topic?
Get out the game, GOTGTV. That's my podcast coming soon. Get out the game.
That's fantastic. And so when you say get out the game, what do you mean?
There's a time and a place, and it's a time when the game is over, and it's a time to get out. Some people don't, no one never tell them get out. And, you know, that's just my whole thing. Me for advice. And the only advice I have to give to a youngster that's in the game is get out.
Yeah, that's understood. I mean, you're right. Some people don't know when to get out the game. Some people don't know when they're ahead. When they're ahead, you know, to get out, because a lot of people, they don't even see a future. I mean, there's no future in it. I mean, you know, right now, right, when you're young, you think that there is a future because that's all you know. But then when you turn 21, 22 years old, you're a senior citizen in the game. You know what I mean?
Exactly. When do you get out the game? You know, when should you, if you're in the game, when should you be, when should you get out? What should be the exit? You know, right. there has to be an exit.
That's true. So what are some clues that you would say to a person, hey, it's time to get out the game?
Okay. Well, you know, you ever had somebody, now I know you, we from the same neighborhood and everything, you know what I'm saying? So you ever had that friend that had a bad experience, like they might have been a gangbanger or whatever, and they got caught and just got done wrong, just abused, and just they overdid it. And you just was like, get out the game. Leave it alone. You need to get out.
Yeah, so let me give you a little story about me, about get out the game. So I think I was like 16, 17 years old, and I was, I can't remember, it was a summer in 93, if I'm not mistaken. And I was sitting at home on my couch and we had the front door open. And, you know, I was in the game kind of deep, but, you know, I was the type of person that would just hang around with different people. I wasn't too much gang banging. We just was friends, you know, because I lived in one neighborhood and my friends lived in the other neighborhood. So I wasn't like really gang banging with them. And then one day I was just sitting on the couch and this guy had just walked into my house. And luckily, I had friends that was still out, that was outside, and it was like, hey, man, just don't do, you just can't walk up into the house. And the guy was like, yeah, man, but don't he hang out with these guys on the other side of the, you know, on the other side. Right. And I'm like, and yeah, and people was like, no, yeah, he do, but he ain't one of those type of guys. I'm just his friends. They grew up together, stuff like that, you know. And so then that morning, you know, at 4 o'clock that morning, you know, my mom was home, by the way, and it freaked her out too. So at 4 o'clock that morning, my mom took me and said, all right, it's time to go. You can't live here anymore. We got people walking in and out the house. We don't know what could happen to you. And, you know, Chicago was a rough time back then. And it still is right now. But, you know, it was a rough time back then. And so she took me to a worse neighborhood than you could ever believe in your life. Check it out.
She goes, neighborhood.
She goes, see, we in the neighborhood I grew up in, everybody owned their own home. Everybody had, it was a middle class black community, right?
Right.
She took me to close, almost, I'm going to say it was the damn projects, man. Let me tell you something. We got there at 4:30 in the morning. We got out the bus, and I swear to God, we had seen like so many crackheads. Nah, I mean, you know, you see a crackhead every once in a while, but when you walk past five crackheads, and they just asking you for pennies. Hey man, you got 3 cents? I just all I need is three.
They asking for pennies.
I'm like, can you round up to a nickel? They like, no, I just need 3 cents. I'm short 3 cents. And you know the dope man don't take change. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, and then we walked to my aunt's house, who I was staying with. And when I tell you this was the absolute worst community to live in, to be in, I mean, it was absolutely awful. You know, I mean, it was just so much violence, so much gang banging. Man, I mean, in one week, it was like the first week I was there, my cousins lost four friends in 1 week, you know, and to them, it was the norm. And for me, you know what I'm saying? I was like, holy shit, wait a minute.
Right.
And I opened up my, and I started looking around. I'm like, man, first of all, these dudes was in the total opposite hood than I'm from. And to see the way they was rolling in their hood versus the way we were rolling in our hood.
Right.
Look, man, we were school kids compared to those cats.
Right, right, right. Right. Right.
I couldn't even give him no stories. You know what I'm saying? I could be like, yeah, I did. No, wait a minute. No, I saw what you did yesterday. No, we didn't do that. You know what I'm saying? I was like, Oh, the hell with this. So at that point, I was like, man, what do I need to do? Do I need to continue hanging around and going back to the hood? Or do I just need to get my head on straight and focus on moving forward? And I chose to focus and move forward because wasn't nothing in the game for me but death, the prison. And I ain't about that.
Right, exactly. And you did a good job of catching yourself, checking yourself, you know, before you wreck yourself.
Absolutely. So what about you, Weez?
Man, you know, it's just it's the same thing. You know what I'm saying? It's we all go through it. And that's why I say my campaign is get out the game. You know, it's been many times you might see a brother. He's been to jail 2-3 times for the same thing. You know what I'm saying? He's been in jail 3 times for selling dope. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you're not good at it.
Not at all. Not at all.
You're not good at it. You know what I'm saying? Some you need to get out the game. You got a lot of brothers that they snitching or they got in a situation where they was snitching or whatever, this and that. But that was because they was out of position. They was somewhere they shouldn't have been.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like Tekashi, like if somebody familiar with the Tekashi 6 situation, you could look at him. And then you could look at the guys he was running with, and you could tell that he shouldn't have been with them. He shouldn't have been able to hear certain information. He shouldn't have been able to see certain things. So by them letting him see that, and he is what he is, that's more like they fault.
Yeah, that's true, because he was never really a street dude. You know, he was just bringing those guys around to give him that rep. But if you're a real street guy, you ain't doing this for the rep. This your life, fam. That's what you
it's
do.
It just is. It's just happening. It just is what it is. If you stuck in a pig pen, that's where you at. And it's going down until you get up out of there. You know, I call Chicago, I call it the devil's toilet.
Oh, that's an interesting way to put it.
Yeah, that's what I call Chicago, the devil's toilet, because if it's a Hell's Kitchen, then Chicago is the toilet. That's where the devil go take a shit at.
Hey, that is true. That is true. You know, it's people don't even get it. You know, so when you go into different places or different cities and you say you're from Chicago, everybody be like, oh, you're from Chi-Raq. People who from Chicago really don't call it Chi-Raq. It's hell. I mean, especially if you grew up in our communities, it's kind of hellish, you know, just to walk the streets to know that it's hard to, you can't even walk to the corner store without walking through 5 or 6 people who don't like you. You know what I'm saying? You gotta, it's so bad, but you know, you gotta know when. And there's a lot of things that people can, there's a lot of indicators to know when it's time to get out.
Yeah.
When
you walk, that's like, someone come up to you and they say, yeah, I'm from Chi-Raq. You know, first thing gonna come to your mind is get out the game.
Yep, because you already calling it Chi-Raq.
Right, get out the right. game. You know, just go sit down. You know, as soon as you hear that out their mouth, you're gonna think, get out the game.
So when, like, let's say when you are, when it's time to get out the game, when you had to text your mama, "Hey, mama, are those dudes sitting in front of my house? You know what time it is, please? It's time to get out the game."
Yeah, it's time to get out the game. Hey, when you get arrested for selling dope and in jail ain't got no money, no bond money or nothing, it's time to get out the game.
Facts, facts.
You know,
When your girl.
We get gunned down with no money in our pocket and get buried in suits. We'll never war in real life. You know what I'm saying? People spend money on dead niggas.
Hey, that's true. That's true. And you have probably never wore a suit in your life, and I just want a lot of people to understand, because they think they in the game and then they got this down girl who in the game. Man, you be locked, you get locked up and you get, let's say they say they're gonna give you 10 years. Half of those ladies ain't gonna be with you. If that's what you think, then you are wrong, man. They're gonna have somebody else 4 or 5 years into it. And second, hopefully they realize that they should have had somebody a long time ago because the lifestyle you was living was truly subpar to the standards that they deserve.
Hey, check this out. Let me tell you this here little thing here, right? With the ladies in the game. You know, the men's got they hustle and the women's got they hustle, right?
Yes, true.
So a lot of the girls, they like to get them a drug dealing street nigga, because they know this nigga ain't gonna last long, especially he if he misplaced. If he ain't even supposed to be in the game, a girl, these girls can determine whether this guy lasts long or will he be dead pretty soon. So they be his girlfriend. He had the money in her house. He put cars in her name. He put things in her name. This is boo. She be his old lady. Then he get knocked off and then she inherited it just like that. That goes on all the time. That's a hustle.
Yeah, that's funny. That's funny. It's true. It is a hustle. I mean, it's a hustle all the way around.
Right.
So when a person get out the game, because this is important for them to get out the game, when a person get out the game, what should they do with themselves? Because we can say, "Hey, get out the game." So what do you think they should do with themselves?
That's on them to decide, man. When somebody tell you get out the game, that's just because the life you save might be your own. You might have to just get out the game and go sit your ass down, go to McDonald's or whatever path that Allah got set forth for you. You know what I'm saying? If you whatever you believe, you're gonna have to get out the game, man. You're gonna have to reframe and reswitch it because that's just the way it go. Some people don't got no, some people they be living the music or whatever. They'll say, "Well, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna die in the game," or this and that, because they just don't have no dreams, they don't have no exit plan, they don't think they could do nothing, they ain't around nobody that's doing something, so they don't see nothing. You know what I'm saying? So, but either get out the game or get took out the game. We know that's a fact.
Yeah, that's true. So, I think that person should position themselves around people. And if they don't know people, I mean, I'm quite certain they got one person in life that they can say, "Hey, well, maybe I need to sit down and chat it up with this person to see, to see something different." Because, to be honest with you, there is a difference. When you get out the game and you start doing stuff differently, man, I'm telling you, there's a huge difference. There's a your eyes get open. Let me tell you. So, after that year when I was living with my aunt and I was living in the worst neighborhood in the city of Chicago, I had went to an alternative high school, and my principal owned a summer camp. And so what she did was she took us up to the summer camp, and I stayed up there for like several months past the summer months. I stayed over 6 months. But what I got to do is I got to see like a different life. I basically had to pull myself out of messed up situation and put myself into another situation, another shoes. And I'm sitting having conversations. It was a Jewish camp, by the way. I'm sitting there having a conversation with all these people, and they was looking at me like, "Man, it's like that? Life that tough? Life that rough? Why does it have to be that way? Why do you have to do that?" And then I just sat back and I said, "Man, you might be right on the things that you're saying, because I mean, other than our pockets of town, people live differently in different areas, you know, and it just opened up my eyes to a whole nother world of everything, you know. I went to school, got an education, you know, started managing in different locations. And I was like, this is the life that you should be living opposed to that life, because there's nothing there for you. There's no retirement plan to stay in the game.
No, it ain't. And when you're young, you can't really see that. But see, let me, okay, like me myself, you know, I was at one point, I was like, man, I was in love with the game. I loved it, the streets, you know what I'm saying? I really thought, you know, I used to refer to myself as Street Jesus. I really thought, you know, I was committed to the streets. And basically, when I got locked up for being a leader, and they basically framed me up and took me out the game, put charges on me, and just put me away. And it was a case I didn't do, and it was my hardest case to beat. And
Yeah, that's that they jam up a lot of brothers that way.
yeah,
Go
so
ahead.
once they got me in that situation like that, then I already knew that the peck of wood, that cracker wasn't my, you know, my, you know, but when I seen it really, I really seen how they had their eye on me as a young black male. Like, man, they really know who I am. They really, you know, they really have paying me attention. I'm thinking I'm nobody. And in their eyes, they saying I need to be removed from the streets and things will change if I'm gone. And I was like, that was devastating. That was something to really think about. So when I was locked up, even when I was locked up, it was too comfortable for me. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, that scared me to death. Like, it was too comfortable. So that scared me to death. You know, just the fact that I was comfortable. I wasn't comfortable because I was dealing with people in there that I never would have associated with if I wasn't incarcerated. You know what I'm saying? So I'm around all these different types, you know me, and I keep my circle very small. So I'm in here, but a lot of guys when I was in there was telling me that they was glad I was in jail. You know, I saved a lot of lives in there. I made a lot of guys' time go right. And while I was in there, I lost my best friend. You know, he got gunned down, and I wished I could have been there with him. I always dreamed and thought that we would kind of like gun it out or something. You know, I always kind of. I kind of pictured it being, you know, in the paper, look, you know, something wild, but, you know, it didn't go like that. He got hit one shot, sniped him out, and, you know, he's dead. And we don't focus on the dead. I focus on the living. RIP Big D, they took him out. We move on. And I prayed to God before I got out. I ain't want to be known no more. I don't want to be in the light. I don't want to be known. I don't want the police to see my face and know who I am, be able to just look at my face and you know, and profile me. You know, I prayed to be in the gray area. I didn't want to be low key. I prayed to be invisible. You know what I'm saying? I'm no longer, I that's all I wanted. When I get out of here, I want to be invisible. I don't want to be low key.
That's fantastic.
And
So let's talk about what you're doing now. Let's talk about now today. What are you doing with yourself now?
okay, well, yeah, that's what I was getting to. So when I you know, basically prayed to get out, and when I got out, man, I didn't carry no guns or none of that. I went from a person who carried a gun every day and believing that you had to have it, you know, that I needed it. To, you know, when I got out, you know, I didn't carry it. And then God, you know, I honestly believed that you know, the Most High was gonna protect me because I was choosing to go, you know, the route that you I'm listening to God now. And man, I just chose to be positive, be good. And as I did that and trying to think of some stuff, we came up with a rap label. Tried to do a rap label, which is positive, and we know we had the, you know, the personalities to do it. And when a situation happened with that, a federal situation came and shut that down, and that's where I lost my brother, Maurice Bowman, our brother, and
Absolutely,
right, he got
absolutely.
locked up with that. So then I had to think of something to continue that I could do by myself, and I just simply because I wanted to transform myself into a comedian for the hustle, for the money, for the love, for the make it happen. But I just did it. I said, this is what I'm going to do. And I transformed into it. So you could do anything when you get out the game.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And so now you do comedy, and you do comedy in Fresno,
yes,
right?
Sir. That's my headquarters.
That's
right
fantastic,
now.
Man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What's the name of the comedy club you do?
I'm usually always at Club One Casino. That was my home stomping ground at the casino down here. But, you know, they've been shut down right now. I ain't really been moving. I got a comedy group I put together. We called Amigos of Comedy. And we've been doing that since, like, 2004, 2000, since 2005, Amigos of Comedy. And me, I'm Weezy the P, doing my thing. You know what I'm saying? I got High Risk Entertainment. And just the comedy. I'm more of a promoter. I'm a comedian. But I throw my own shows. I book my own spots.
Hey, that's the smart way to go.
I get the spot, you know. I book the comedians, you know, and me and my squad, we hustle the tickets, we push the tickets, and, you know, we try to have tickets sold before the show. So money made even if you don't show, you know what I'm saying?
That's fantastic. So when everything opens back up, you know, because now that you're out the game, and when everything opens back up, what are you planning on doing,
man,
next?
Man, I'm going to just get back to work, man, and link up with brothers like you and other brothers that I know and try to see how y'all can help me expand, how I can help y'all, and let's go with it, man, you know. I'm going to try to really open up and work with it's so many of us that like us, me, you, different, so many of us, when I mean us people I know that's doing things, but we separated. When we was younger, we was more connected. So I'm going to try to bring it back to that, especially with us. Especially
that's fantastic.
With us from the same
yes.
land.
You know, because what I do know if an individual walk into a place and ask for one thing, they get denied. But when a group of people walk into a place, a lot of times they get approved. So that's fantastic that you said that. And this is the reason why I reached out to you and why I'm reaching out to a lot of different people, you know. And if you're listening to this, yeah, and you also got an idea you want to talk about, you know, this is called the Adulting Hour. This is to help our youth and people that we know who may need to hear this and may need something extra, because a lot of times we didn't get this when we got younger. We just gotta, hey, stay away from this. Don't do this. Don't do that. You know, we didn't get the reasons why behind it. You know, there's a lot of reasons why behind it. But if you're listening to this, you can always click on the link and send me an email to the Adulting Hour. And let me know that this is what you want to do. You can also hit me up at Facebook at CW Marks, at Facebook on Facebook. You can find me. And then if you like what you hear, if you really like what you hear, or you just want to support, you can donate. You can donate, you know, click the $1 a month, or you can click the $4.99 a month or the $9.99 a month. You know, this is just for that. This is so that I can keep this content coming to you. And it's coming to you, and it's for you. Weezy, I want to thank you so much for being part of the Adulting Hour,
yes,
man. Thank
sir,
you
brother.
so much. Hey, so you have a great day, and then I'll be coming to you soon with another
right,
episode.
Cool.
Thank you so much.